So this morning I want to talk a little bit about wilderness choices. And I want to start in the passage that Catherine read in Genesis about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were in the garden with God. Everything was there for them that they needed. And they had to make a choice when the serpent said, "Yeah, but look at this tree over here. This tree is absolutely beautiful. And no matter what God said, you can eat that fruit. That's okay. You can eat that fruit. And if you eat that fruit, you might find that it's delicious and you have full knowledge of the good and evil that God has." So they had a choice to make. And they chose the knowledge. They chose the knowledge. And we know what happens next. That when God comes and finds out, he kicks them out of paradise. Basically into the wilderness of the world. And suddenly the man who had all the fruit and vegetables he could possibly have now had to work for it. And not only did he have to work for it, but the land wasn't going to be yielding very nicely. Now, those of you who farm, you know when your land yields nicely, and you know when the season is such that you could work it and work it and work it, and you just watch it die and die and die. He had to work hard to feed the family. And for Eve, she ended up in that situation where childbirth would be a thing that caused her great pain. So they left that which was wonderful by their choice. They left the kingdom of God in paradise. They left that communion and connection to God for a piece of fruit on a tree because of what it might give them, what power it might give them. And they ended up in the wilderness by their choice. Now, Jesus is also called the second Adam. So we come to this temptation of Jesus this morning. Now remember, he has just received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came down from the heavens and God said, "This is my beloved, with him I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit sends him off into the wilderness. And Matthew tells us, each of the gospel tells us this story differently. Matthew tells us he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and was famished. So this is a man who's filled with the Holy Spirit, has spent 40 days, we assume, fasting with God for the mission God is going to place upon his life when he leaves the wilderness. Anyone who's fasted, I've done the 30-hour famine. 30 hours was hard. He's fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was famished. So the first temptation that he's given by the tempter, by Satan, is a miracle temptation. Hey, you've got the power. Turn that stone into bread, and then you can eat. So his choice, the choice he had to make, was to perform an act of power, a miraculous act, or remain famished and in a right relationship with God. And he chose the second. He said, "Man does not live by bread alone." So then the devil tries something else. Satan comes and says, "Well, hey, get up to the top of the steeple at Plank Chapel." No, get to the top of the temple. Jump off, and God's going to catch you. He's going to send his angels to catch you. So this was, you have the choice to make this sensational, spectacular moment of God's power of saving you, that you have the power to do this, or stay in a right relationship with God. And Jesus chooses to stay in a right relationship with God rather than the power of falling and being caught by God's angels. The third is a definite power play by the devil. Satan then says, "Okay, So you didn't want to do miracles. And you didn't want to make a spectacular sensation of you falling from the temple in front of everyone and God catching you and everyone can see who you are. I got another one for you. I'll give you this whole earthly kingdom. You'll have power over everything. Just follow me. And Jesus' choice was, no, get away from me, Satan. God is my Lord, and let me see. The exact words are, away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. So Jesus' choices he had to make were in the wilderness, but his choice was to remain in the kingdom of God, to remain in that right relationship with God the Father. So we have choices. You could consider this world, this earthly kingdom, our wilderness wanderings. And we have a choice to make. We have a choice to make to either follow Jesus. And Jesus' choice, remember, was a sacrificial choice. He chose to remain human. He chose to go to the cross when he could have done anything he wanted to bring about the kingdom of heaven on earth. Yeah, we have a lot of feedback this morning. Yeah. Leo's hearing aids aren't picking up the feedback. So he has the choice. He chose sacrificial love. He chose to die on the cross. He chose to forgive his accusers. He chose to not enter into a power play game. He chose to sacrifice himself, not just so that we would have life and have it abundance. He chose to do this because God so loved the world that he wanted to save the world, that the world might be saved. Christ died on the cross. But Christ showed us while he was alive about the sacrificial love that we are called to be part of, which is to make the choice, as some say, to pick up your cross and follow, to make the choice to see our friends and our neighbors as those who are also lost in the wilderness, that the life of faith is often a life of sacrifice. And sometimes we can get swallowed up before we even know it about making a choice for power. If you study any church history, you know that the early church that was the house churches that was growing, that was being persecuted by Rome, at some point the church made the decision to join with Rome so that they were no longer the church that was being persecuted, but they were the church of the state. And if you follow in our church history, you will see places where we as the body of Christ chose, instead of sacrificial love for the world and the community, we chose power and worldly responses. Why do we do this season called Lent? Why do we spend 40 days singing a lot of minor key songs, which your pastor, you know, absolutely loves? Singing minor key songs, having a whole lot of dark colors, and remembering the cross, and we do the litany of diminishing light as the light of Christ in that walk to the cross is diminished in the world until Easter, and we resurrect and we have the beautiful light of Christ bright again. Because that movement, we always have to move to the cross, because without the cross we cannot have a resurrection. But the cross that we need to carry as followers of Christ, as the body of Christ, the church, is to remember that we are to be the sacrificial witness of Christ's love to the world, so that our lives, our journey with Christ, is keeping God and Jesus Christ in our focus, that we live this right relationship, and that we offer to the world a right relationship. We can't solve wars. We can't solve international conflicts. We can't even solve the conflicts within our own nation, let alone in our Congress. But what we can do as followers of Jesus Christ is to love our neighbors as God calls us to love our neighbors. Christ said that the law and the prophets and all these things hang, but the two commandments are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. We are all tempted, aren't we? We're all tempted by the things that come at us that might be comforting for the moment. We make choices that might make sense to us at the time, but have we prayerfully thought about them? One of my favorite practices, it's a temptation, is shopping. So I shop online. And what I do is I fill up my shopping cart. Sometimes my total is close to $1,000 because I'm just putting everything in my coffee, in my shopping cart that I think I want. And then I walk away and I walk back to it and I open it up again and I go, delete, 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 till the shopping cart is zero. And you might think, why did I waste all that much time when I wasn't going to buy it anyway? Because sometimes we get enamored of things. Sometimes we think a want is a need. And so we go looking for it. It's when we make the choice to buy the want, when we don't have a need, that we make a choice that may not be healthy for us or healthy for the world. Our temptations are very different than Christ's. Our temptations are way different than Adam and Eve's. But every time that we step away, when we make the choice for the world, for our own selfish needs, for whatever we think is going to fit us best, no matter who it hurts, no matter who it hurts, then we make that choice to make ourselves wander in the wilderness like the Jews that left Egypt and wandered for 40 years. Christ is calling us in this time of Lent to do a lot of self-reflection, to look deep, do self-examination of where do I need to die to self and rise to Christ. But also as a body of Christ, as the church, we are also called to do that self kind of reflection. Where do we need to die to our own selfish desires or wants as a church so that we can rise to Christ as a witness of Christ to our community? How do we spend our budget? How do we decide what things to do, what missions to engage in? How do we welcome our neighbors? All of the things that God calls us to do and be. There's all sorts of temptations. The temptations of power to eat what we want, the temptation of testing God. Hey, God, I'm going to do this and see if you'll follow and still love me. And the temptation to take power into our own hands and do things that harm others. When I think about Adam and Eve, and I think about walking in the garden with God. Someone asked me just recently, well, did God have legs? Was God human, just like Jesus? And I said, we don't know what God looked like. But we do know that Adam and Eve knew they were walking and talking with God. And I cannot imagine making that choice to eat something and to lose that personal presence of God in my life. When they left the garden, God clothed them. And the whole story of this scripture, this love story of God, is calling us back into that relationship of love, into that personal presence of God in everything we do, in everything we say, in even those places we don't think God should be. God wants to be there. He wants to be there in our lives. So take this time to think about your own Wilderness choices. I know the ones I made that had me wandering in the wilderness for years until I made the choice to be a follower of Jesus when I accepted Christ into my life. The one thing I remember that day was my thought, I will never again be alone. When we make the choice for Christ, Christ is with us through every wilderness wandering we go. So this Lent, just take some time so that Christ can be there in your life, looking at your life. And don't do that pity poor me self-examining, because God's going to be there. Christ is going to be there with you, forgiving each sin that you bring before him. So allow Christ to be there examining with you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.